Reading from God's Holy Word this morning, our New Testament lesson comes from the book, The Acts of the Apostles. We are in the 10th chapter, the last four verses, verse 44 to 48. This is where we see that Peter, prior to this, had a vision about God's Word and God's salvation being for all people, and that there wasn't really a difference. And so he goes out and he starts through invitation to preach to people who are Gentiles, and that caused some anxiety amongst the people, the church in Jerusalem. And so Peter goes out because he hears a word, and he goes to preach to these people. And so here it is. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." And so Peter ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. We remember this lesson when we start debating about whether people should have the Holy Spirit first or be baptized first, or whether they have faith deep enough or not, whether they belong or not. We know that God's Holy Spirit works in miraculous ways. Reading from the first letter of John in the 5th chapter, the first 6 verses, hear what John is saying as he starts to conclude his love letter. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth." And reading from the Gospel according to John in the 15th chapter, we continue in the time when Jesus is teaching his disciples what he needs them to know before continuing on to Jerusalem and his week of passion and crucifixion and then resurrection. We continue where we left off from last week. We are at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask some questions. You don't have to answer out loud. Maybe these questions applied previously in your life, and maybe they don't apply now. But if they have, then you might be able to relate to some of these questions. But I'm wondering if you ever felt like you failed at something. Have you ever felt like because you couldn't do something, or you couldn't do something right, or because you failed, that you weren't as good as somebody else? Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, wow, they've got it all together and I don't? Have you ever felt like you didn't deserve good things to happen? That you were unworthy? Have you ever felt like there was a you that's deep down inside, hiding maybe, maybe not, that if anybody else knew about that you, they wouldn't love you? They wouldn't treat you as nice? They wouldn't care for you as deeply? Have you ever felt like you had to like love other people better? Because if you loved them and did what made them happy, then you might start deserving whatever love comes your way? Have you ever felt like you dare not fail? You dare not take risks? You dare not reach out? Because you might get rejected? That you might not be loved? Have you ever felt that way? I know today's gospel lesson is talking about loving one another. And we all do that. We've probably been here in church enough to hear enough sermons on how we love one another. But I'm wondering about how we love ourselves. Maybe we're afraid to talk about loving ourselves because we're afraid that we'll become self-centered narcissists. You remember Narcissus. He was the dude that was a demigod and thought he was so perfectly beautiful that everybody should love him. And then he found a pool, a mystical pool, where when he looked in it, the imagery was so perfect, and he saw how beautiful he was. He fell in love with himself. And he spent the rest of his life there at the edge of the pool, looking at himself, missing out on life and relationships. There's a long way on the journey from loving ourselves because we are lovable to being narcissist. Most of us never get down there to the narcissistic part. Most of us seldom get down to the part where we're so self-centered and selfish that we become arrogant and demanding and all-consuming and unable to be empathetic or sympathetic or even notice that there are other people. Most of us spend our life struggling to feel worthy, struggling at times to feel like we deserve the joy and blessings we receive. What would it take for you to receive love? Love that opens up that deep, dark inner you that you think is maybe not lovable or not worthy or not deserving. What would it take for a love to get down in there and heal that place? To pour light and openness and love on it? What would it take to break open your heart so that could happen. If we look around at our culture, we know that many of us don't do that. Many of us choose to do other ways. We give everything to other people, neglecting ourselves and getting imbalanced in our spirit or our body or our mind. Some of us might choose to self-medicate with things that make us feel good for a moment or make us forget about the pain we might experience. Some of us maybe just withdraw, isolate ourselves, afraid to engage with others or go out and do things. Some of us get lost. Some of us, though, take courage in hand and through the workings of God's Holy Spirit, let our hearts break. Let that pain come to the surface. Let that disappointment see fresh air. And invite God's Spirit in that we might be filled with the healing ability of God's love. You see, we spend all our time counting up deserving and not deserving, worthy and not worthy, and yet Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Jesus was willing to go to the cross, to be buried in the tomb, that through the resurrection we might learn that we don't deserve the grace of God. We just are given the grace of God. See, if Jesus would have waited for us to have finally earned it, he'd still be with us. There would have been no crucifixion. The grace of God is freely given because God loves us so much. And God wants to heal and help and bring hope and fill us with God's Spirit that we might be children of the realm, that we might be best friends with Jesus, that we might know the opportunities that we're given to be part of that amazing love that's God. So, if you could answer those questions at the beginning in the past tense, or if you have a point in your life where they come up again, I invite you to pray for the Holy Spirit, that you might be filled, that you might know love. And if those questions are in the past tense, and if you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then my next question is, what do you do to take care of yourselves? What do you do to make sure that you're filled with that love, that when you go to those dark places or pain resurface, you know how to deal with it? And that when it does resurface, you hardly notice it. Now, I know that sometimes when I ask people what they do to take care of themselves, they say, I get a babysitter, or I take a bubble bath, or I turn my phone off. Those might be good things. I think we all need a little pampering. But when I'm talking about self-care, I think I'm talking about it at a deeper level. I know for sure what I do for self-care, and so I guess that's the thing I can talk about the most, but I know what other people have done also in their lives. Now, I know people that make sure they get out for contemplative walks every day, mile, 2 miles, whatever. I know some other people that can run this did not come from asthmatic me, okay? I know some people that run. My sister-in-law, for one, she gets up in the morning, her running shoes are on, and she does at least 5 miles because that's her time with God. She says she just really gets to where it's rhythmic, and the breathing and the sense of God's presence is amazing to her. And so she has to get in her 5 miles every morning first thing. Now, I am not a morning person, and any of you who've had any conversation with me about myself, you know this. And my husband's sitting right here, and he really knows it. I am not a morning person, and every morning that alarm goes off at 5. And he also knows to make sure that when my alarms need to be replaced, the snooze button is really big on top because I don't open my eyes. I just randomly swat at things until it stops for a little while. I just need 7 more minutes. Every once in a while I need a second 7 more minutes, but usually I can do it in 7 more minutes. And then I stand in the kitchen praying that the coffee will brew faster because it's still morning and I'm up. But that first cup, fresh brewed, is amazing. And I want to sit in the total quiet. If it's winter and it's dark, I like to look at the stars. And as now the sun is up before, I like to see the day as it dawns and creation awaken. I like to sit in quiet contemplation, talk with God, reflect on God's word for me. What do you do to connect with God, to sit in the quiet, to hear God's Spirit? That's one way of self-care. Another way is to be really connected to nature. Garden, hike, kayak, boat, swim, plant trees, go to farms. Whatever it is that feeds you, there's something powerful about putting your hands in the soil. A couple weeks ago, I officiated at the committal service for one of my business partner's parents. She lost both of them in 3 months. And after the urns were lowered down into the earth, we all took handfuls of that cold, wet dirt and put them in, covering them up, connecting again earth to earth. And that begins the grief journey. Do you have griefs that you don't tend to? Can you find someone to companion with you? Because self-care is especially important when we grieve. What feeds your soul? What fills up your spirit? What brings you joy? How many times a week do you laugh? When do you celebrate? How do you get affirmations? Those are all pieces of our self-care. When we care for ourselves, when we're connected to God, when the Holy Spirit fills us up and heals us, then when we serve, as we do anyway, because it is our want to love others, it is Christ's command to us, we do it in a powerful, healing way. Have you ever known anybody who, like, does something for you because they need to in order to create an obligation between you and them? You can tell it, can't you? Someone who gives just because they give, doesn't count the cost and doesn't worry about it. That's someone who's doing it because they love. They love like Jesus loves us, like we are invited to love ourselves and others for the joy of loving. The amazing grace of God is that even though we are undeserving, God loves us so much, God is willing to die for us. May we know today and in all the days to come that our deepest pains, our greatest failures, our fears cannot separate us from the love of God, that we are truly loved and we are truly lovable. Amen.